in this country just doesn't much matter anymore unless it serves me and my agenda. But the whole idea of truth? No. It has to serve me and my group at a particular time. But you see, those times change. Then what happens when we're the one under fire? That's what the Constitution is designed to protect. So that all men are created equally. Because they were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I want to talk to my pastor friends for a moment. Pastor, how are you any different than those that are seeking to usurp authority over the United States Constitution to avoid its clear words, to restate it according to their whim? How are you any different when the Lord of glory, the Spirit of truth, incarnated in Jesus Christ, said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery? Hello? You have usurped authority over the Word of God, and just like the Pope of Rome have declared your magisterium in your pulpit as having greater authority than the Word of God. What do you do with the eternal destiny of your people under your sphere of influence, with the great Apostle Paul that you claim to revere says, don't be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals are going to inherit the kingdom of God. But you say, You see, you're undermining the rule of law, God's law. And you know what? There will be hell to pay. Friends, we are in a very, very serious moment in American history, in world history. One of the key characteristics of the end times is lawlessness. Lawlessness begins with violating God's law, with arrogating ourselves and our viewpoints over what God has said. And it echoes down and metastasizes throughout the entire society, throughout families, throughout cities, throughout states and nations, and then the whole world. That, my friends, is what will usher in the new global order. Lawlessness. Think about it. Think about it. And then let's pray. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. If you believe in what we're saying, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Is this the end of the rule of law in the United States? You decide.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next 2 hours, they're going to be the views of Jonathan Gray. And Jonathan is a fascinating individual. We actually have seen a number of the DVDs he put together. He'd actually, of course, done a lot of work parallel to that of Ron Wyatt. And those of you who don't know Ron Wyatt or never heard our four-tape set of interviews with Ron Wyatt and the people who worked with him, certainly have missed something really very important part of history. But certainly Jonathan has actually retraced part of Ron Wyatt's work over there as far as the Holy Land. But also, Jonathan has done a great deal of exploration on his own as an archaeologist, independent, to be able to tell you the truth about what's going on. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, if you work for a major university today and you were to tell people that evolution was not true, if you were to tell people that dinosaurs have existed in conjunction with mankind rather than 50 million years ago or 60 million years ago they died out or 70 million years ago they died out, and they have all these stories about dinosaurs because they're the very basis of evolution, and evolution is the very basis of creating disbelief in the Bible, and if evolution is true, then the Bible is a lie, a complete and total lie. On the other hand, if the Bible is true, then everything you've learned in school about evolution is a lie, and there's an organized, coordinated effort to deceive students and really to destroy faith in the God who created the heaven and the earth. And I really believe that's true. In fact, if you work at a major university today and you dare to suggest that there might even be intelligent design, there might be some sort of intelligence behind the complex and the DNA structure, this whole thing is programmed, it's put together just like a computer program. How did it happen? Oh, it evolved, you know. Well, no, there is an intelligent design behind it. But you don't dare say that if you're a professor, or you'll be blacklisted and you will never get a job again, which is why we really need to close down most of our universities, because they are not institutions of learning, they're institutions of indoctrination. And until we have scientists who are willing to stand up and say this is fraudulent and these people should be driven out of the academic community, until we have scientists who are willing to do that, then you cannot trust most of the things that are coming out of science today. With that as the background, Jonathan Gray from Australia. Hi, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Oh, very, very well, thank you, Stan. That's very nice to be with you today.
Well, we really appreciate so much your being with us. Of course, it's afternoon over there and it's evening here, but we were going to be talking today about dinosaurs and of course, the fact that the science has definitely proved that the dinosaurs died out 50 million years ago. But is that true?
Oh, no. In fact, it's possible that there may still be, in one or two corners of the earth, some dinosaurs alive today.
Well, how do we know that? I mean, how do we know that that they didn't die out 50 million years ago? I mean, we've seen, you can go to the university library or universities or museums, and you can see these great fossil structures there of these great lizard-like creatures. But of course, we know dinosaurs were real. But how do we know that they existed during recent times? I'm talking about the last 5,000-6,000 years.
Well, it's a big subject, Stan, and I'm sure that we'll be able to get into this with our teeth stuck in today in a big way. It's a lot of evidence.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so vitally important, and this is why I asked Jonathan to be with us. Dinosaurs are real, and they've existed with mankind. You pick up the story there.
Very good. Well, there's a lot of myths associated with dinosaurs. They were said to be vicious, haphazard, clumsy creatures, but the evidence, the new information coming concerning them now is not what we read in the books. There's no scientific evidence that any dinosaur was as vicious as we have been led to believe. and the bones, the teeth, the stomach contents of fossil dinosaurs tell us that most of them were harmless plant eaters. We have very little evidence to indicate that any of the dinosaurs definitely ate meat. Now, of course, much more research is needed, but that's the way it's pointing today. It's quite different from what we've been told in the popular media and education system. Tyrannosaurus rex is depicted as a savage killer, but its sharp teeth and its claws may well have been used to tear up tough plants and fruits because the stomach contents would suggest that. And even today, many sharp-toothed animals are plant eaters, which rarely, if ever, eat flesh. So there's one myth I think we can throw out the window.
Well, now, have we ever actually found, a dinosaur with a stomach or anything, a contents in the stomach of any dinosaurs?
Oh, yes. Fossil contents have been found, they tell us that that was their basic way of life, of eating. Animal contents have been found, stomach contents have been found for quite a few creatures, Stan, and the dinosaurs is no exception here.
And of course, see, that is really, Chris, if they died out 60 million years ago or 50 million years ago, how could you possibly have anything in the way of stomach contents? I think we've heard about the woolly mammoths that they found that were, frozen solid up in the tundra someplace, and they would have things in their stomach. But the fact that they've actually found in dinosaurs of stomach contents, but even more than that, even in 60 minutes within the last 2 weeks, why they interviewed a professor who had actually opened one of the bones that was too big to move from where it was, and when they opened the bone, they found evidence of soft tissue and of blood cells and blood vessels. And how could that be around for 60 million years? And or maybe they've been lying to us. That was the most amazing thing to see on 60 Minutes. I'm not certain they really realized the implications of what they were saying. But I'm sure you've heard the same things, haven't you, John?
Oh, yes. It's a very fascinating story. Red blood cells, blood vessels, protein, and bone cells.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, the gentleman, we were just talking about the fact that on 60 Minutes, just about the last 2 weeks, they had a program, an interview with a gentleman who was the consultant for the motion picture Jurassic Park. Oh, remember where they'd actually, some sort of a fly in amber or something like that, and they'd gotten the DNA of a dinosaur, and they'd actually created these dinosaurs, they'd grown these dinosaurs, and it was a very, very convincing motion picture. But the man who was a consultant for that is a real archaeologist, and he really believes that they are going to be able to get the DNA, and they're going to be able to clone and be able to actually, using the DNA which is available in some of the soft tissues they've been able to find, to create a dinosaur, perhaps somewhere down the line in the future times, to clone it. But the idea that there really are blood vessels and white cells, I mean, obviously, this is no way this could exist if these things have been extinct for 60 million years. So you pick up the story, Jonathan.
Yes, in 1990, the bones of a very beautifully preserved Tyrannosaurus rex skeleton was unearthed, and these were brought to Montana State University Laboratory. And according to those who worked on it, some parts deep inside the long bone of the leg had not completely fossilized. Now, a lady called Mary Schweitzer with some co-workers took turns looking through a microscope. They made thin sections of the dinosaur bone, and they examined it complete with blood vessel channels. And it's interesting, she reported that the lab was filled with murmurs of amazement, because here I had focused on something inside the vessels that none of us had ever noticed before. Little tiny round objects, translucent red with a dark center. And then a colleague took a look at one of them and shouted, "You've got red blood cells! You've got red blood cells!" And she said she got goose pimples. It was exactly like looking at a slice of modern bone, Stan. So she confronted her boss, and he's a famous paleontologist. They call him Dinosaur Jack Horner. And he admitted, look, I can't believe it. She said, the bones, after all, are 65 billion years old. How could blood cells survive so long? It's exactly what you've been saying. Okay, said Horner, how about you try to prove that they're not red blood cells? And so that was her next job. And she tried, and she tried, and she tried. And her verdict was, we've not been able to prove they're not red blood cells. The evidence that hemoglobin, that's the protein that makes blood red and carries oxygen, has indeed survived in this dinosaur bone, casts tremendous doubt upon the millions of years idea. Now, I might be able to catalogue a little bit of this, listeners will find interesting. The tissue was coloured reddish-brown, that's the colour of hemoglobin, just as was liquid extracted from the dinosaur tissue. Now, hemoglobin contains heme units. These are chemical signatures that are unique and were found in specimens when certain wavelengths of laser light were applied. Now, because it contains iron, heme reacts to magnetic fields differently from other proteins. And extracts from this specimen reacted in the same way as modern heme compounds. Now, they did something rather wise, and that was to ensure that the samples were not contaminated with modern bacteria, which have heme, but never the protein hemoglobin. And extracts of the dinosaur fossil were then injected over several weeks into rats. Now, if there was even a minute amount of hemoglobin present in the Tyrannosaurus rex sample, the rat's immune system would build up detectable antibodies against this. And this is exactly what happened in carefully controlled experiments. So here we have evidence of hemoglobin and the still recognizable shapes of red blood cells in unfossilized dinosaur bone, which testifies, of course, that this dinosaur did not live and die millions of years ago. I think we realize that the process of biochemical decay starts soon after death. The cells should long since have disintegrated unless they're just a few thousand years old. I'd just love to have been a fly on the wall in that laboratory that night when they realized that.
Well, of course,
our kids are being taught wrongly in the school system, absolutely.
Well, I think, of course, a true scientist never says anything is absolute. You have a thesis, you try it out, you try to determine if it's accurate, and you're always willing to change it if you're found to be incorrect. The problem is, of course, as a scientist, if they really begin to suggest maybe we've not got the true story of evolution, that suggests that maybe the biblical story is true, and there's such an intense hatred of God among these people, many of the scientists, that they will lie and they will actively distort the science, and they will change the scientific evidence. They will do this intentionally. Certainly, they're no longer scientists. They become advocates for a political or religious philosophy, and that religious philosophy is a conscious, organized effort to destroy belief in the Bible. And that's really what this is all about, isn't it, Jonathan?
Yes, it really is. It's a battle of ideology. But there are people who just don't want to think that God has anything to do with their lives, and that they can do what they like. They think they can do what they like without ever having to face the consequences. And this is a threat to them. Relating to this particular dinosaur testing, we know that proteins take much less time than a million years to spontaneously decay. But neither 10,000 nor 1 million years are anywhere near the millions of years needed to make the standard evolutionary geology plausible. And so here we've got fossil soft tissue, and you might say it's caught between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, it should not be there at all, if evolution is true. But based on lab studies, on the other hand, its presence is obvious. And as you say, they try to wriggle out of it sometimes, and it's obvious here that to accommodate soft cells from fossils into the standard evolution review, scientists have to make a tough choice. And so one option has been for them to deny this discovery, that it's true. Another choice is to deny the lab experiments and what they have measured. But you can't deny them. They're now historical facts. And so Mary Schweitzer appears to have favored the second option, that they're not seeing what the tests are telling them they're seeing. Which is unfortunate, but we can thank her for the discoveries that she made right through to the conclusion. And there is a third choice, of course, and that's just simply to put your head in the sand and ignore everything.
But you see, we can't, because we are involved in a philosophical debate, a cultural debate. You know, is there a God that directs the course of mankind, or there is no God, everything just happened by accident? We've got to have an awful lot of faith to believe that the perfect order of music, perfect order of mathematics, perfect order of the periodic chart, a perfect order of arithmetic, that all of this just happened simply by accident of biology. I mean, certainly the way the human body develops, the embryology, that all of these things are just accidental. I mean, how could you possibly believe that? It would be beyond any comprehension that this could have happened simply by accident. And all the evidence now of intelligent design that we see in the DNA analysis, as they understand more and more about how the molecules work, how the genes work, obviously there's a master plan, a master designer, and of course that then puts a lie. And of course, if that's true, that these scientists one day are going to have to acknowledge that maybe, just maybe, there is a God, and they are answerable to him, as we all are. Well, certainly, this is just one aspect of this whole issue of fossils, dinosaurs. There's really so much evidence out there that dinosaurs have been living and lived certainly within the last 3,000 or 4,000 years, isn't there?
Oh, yes, and we'll get on to that. Stan, I'd just like to get on to one other aspect of the dinosaurs here.
Okay, you go right ahead.
And that's fossilization, the lack of fossilization in some cases. Now, down here in New Zealand, there's a burial cave at a place called Cavern Head where a Maori chief was laid to rest. And in 1877, one of the first settlers, a man called Walter Trail, he stumbled into the cave and he uncovered the chief's body, which was thoroughly petrified, turned to stone. Now, he came back later intending to take the body to a museum, but the Maoris had removed it from the cave. So here we have, in less than 100 years, the body had petrified. You might say he was stone dead. Okay.
Now, are you in Australia or New Zealand?
I'm in New Zealand, actually. I was in Australia. We've made this our base now in New Zealand. We like the environment here.
All right, fine. You go right ahead then. I love New Zealand. It's a wonderful country.
We're actually sitting on the side of a hill looking out over the ocean, but we're having our hottest summer on record.
All right, well, go right ahead with your story there.
Yes.
Anyway, they were able to petrify this body within just 100 years.
That's right. And petrification, fossilization, or even turning to coal, these are all processes which don't take a lot of time. What they do take is pressure, temperature, and perhaps the right chemical action occasionally.
Well, we had the eruption here at St. Helena, which is a volcano up there, in, I believe, in Washington. But basically, they had actually... they created coal simply within a matter of a day or so, with a massive explosion and certainly the compression of trees and all, and they were simply converted into coal. And of course, everybody knows it takes millions and millions and millions of years, and some great skeptics, people could not believe this. And yet, there was the evidence right before their very eyes, and they had to acknowledge that everything that had ever been taught and come to believe really was a lie. And ladies and gentlemen, it was the hardest thing for me, you know, with a college education and a Phi Beta Kappa key, to suddenly acknowledge I'd been lied to in college. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Yes, when you talk about being lied to in college, I was talking to a man a few weeks ago, and he said, I felt very angry when I realized that I had been deliberately deceived. You can't blame people when they find out the truth.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
So much damage to the earth and the atmosphere, that's what killed the dinosaurs. But, Jonathan, why don't you go ahead and develop the idea of what happened to the dinosaurs? Why did they die off? So we don't see any. I've never seen a dinosaur, and I don't know anybody else that's seen a dinosaur in recent years, although there have been some reports of some massive sea creatures that are dinosaur-like. Had one wash up on the beach over here in Monterey in the 1920s, just across the bay from where I am. The descriptions, the pictures of it look like some sort of a sea dinosaur, but you go ahead. Why did the dinosaurs die off?
Very fascinating question. And the perplexity among the evolutionary scientists is really interesting. A fellow called Edwin Colbert, writing in The Age of Reptiles, stated that it was an event that has defied all attempts at a satisfactory explanation, that that all the dinosaurs, large and small, in all parts of the world and at the same time, died out. He says it defies a satisfactory explanation. Well, I agree with him if he's looking at it from an evolutionary explanation. Another one in the Times London commentator summed it up pretty well. He said, all theories on the dinosaurs' extinction are now extinct. And a Berkeley physicist, Louis Alvarez, says the problem is not what killed the dinosaurs, but what killed almost all the life at the time. Because when you look at it this sensibly, why would just dinosaurs die out and all the smaller creatures survive? No, there was a disaster that wiped out everything at the same time, and this man, without realizing it, was hitting on a cause that we can accept, because the Bible talks about all life being wiped out.
And, of course, you're talking about Noah's flood, and this is the thing that you suddenly, and certainly every society, ancient society, talks about this great flood. I mean, suddenly it's recorded so many places in history. And yet, of course, the modern-day scientist, of course, denies that because, of course, it comes from the Bible.
Yes, they do. It's very interesting if we go looking at the dinosaurs that are being found all around the world. Let's just look at a few places and then we'll summarize this. Go to Africa, and world-famed dinosaur hunter Paul Serino reported from a dig in Africa describing a dinosaur graveyard that he and his crew uncovered. And he stated that the creatures had been buried in minutes, perhaps by a flash flood. Now, that's interesting. A similar deposit up there in Mongolia, and excavators up there said that the animals seemed to have been captured not in death throes, in other words, not dying painfully in a natural way, but if caught by surprise in mid-motion, as it were, in the ordinary acts of their lives, such as one that was found sitting on its clutch of eggs, another one that was found clutching a mouthful of food, or buried before all this could be decayed. And his comment was, they were killed quickly and buried quickly in some catastrophic event. Isn't that interesting?
Right, and of course, we would know what the catastrophic event is. He wouldn't know because he's not coming from a Christian perspective. I mean, it's not anybody who's ever read the Bible knows. I mean, this is the thing, and but all of the, really, it's a historical event, and certainly, and now I haven't reviewed all the literature, but I know people who have, and they document the fact that literally, whether you're talking about the Mayans talked about the Great Flood, and certainly the Egyptians. Talked about the Great Flood, and the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and all of them talked about this Great Flood.
Yes, they do. Now we go to North America, and that's where you are. And a geologist Richard Orndorff from the University of Nevada, with various others, a biologist and a paleontologist, all working together on a deposit of fossil dinosaurs. And they commented that they were buried on the seafloor very quickly. And well, they called it the seafloor because they realized that water was involved. Of course, a flood had water involved in it likewise. And then they speak of mass entombments and their waterborne graveyards. Now, we find this situation, Dan, not just in one or two or three places, but all over the planet, in virtually every dinosaur case where remains are found, they are in deposits where the organism has been washed from its original land-based environment, it's been mixed with sea creatures, and buried. Now these finds worldwide...
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
While the storm clouds gather, far across the sea, grateful for a land so fair.
Oh, Jonathan, go right ahead.
Yes, we're talking here, Stan, about water-laid dinosaur remains all over the world, in virtually every case. They were washed from their land-based environment. They were mixed with sea creatures. They were buried. Now, these finds surely qualify as catastrophic flood-type deposits. So here we find that the rocks preserve the evidence of sudden catastrophe and death, not slow accumulation over millions of years of evolution. That is the dinosaur picture. And it's very different from that which is being painted in the schools where our children go and in the universities and on the media.
There's a fellow named Ken Ham. I think he's Australian, as I remember. He has a little saying about fossils. You know, billions of dead things laid down in layers covered over with the water all over the world. And that's really exactly what it was. Something caused them to be laid down in layers and covered them with water all over the world. And that's what fossils are. And how would you get, you know, land-based animals associated with the sea-based animals, all in various layers there, and how would you get them buried? You know, well, I think one explanation would be a flood, and all the sediment that comes with a flood. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Thank you. When you say one explanation it would be a flood, that's quite correct. And may I just go one step further and say that you could not get it happening without water. Water had to cover, had to put the deposits over them. Water had to bring the sea animals up to where the land animals were, or the land animals down to the sea animals. It was a whole churning up of water and land, which laid down layer after layer and gave us our strata we have today, which has been so sadly misinterpreted by evolutionary, godless scientists.
Well, they really don't have a very good explanation. So they describe the Cambrian layer, and I've forgotten all the layers. I knew them all when I was in college. I've unlearned them because they really aren't valid at all. Part of the lie told over and over again, to the point where so many impressionable young people come to accept it and then come to disbelieve in God. We'll be right back. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. I said, yeah. Jonathan is simply talking about the fossil layers, and many of these fossil layers that you find, you'll find all sorts of sea critters in them, and here they are on dry, what today is dry land. But the fossil layers laid down in layers, and of course, how would that be? Sometimes you have land creatures down in layers lower than the sea creatures. How could that be? Well, maybe there was a great flood, and that's caused all the layers of sediment there. But you go right ahead, Jonathan.
Yes. One thing, Stan, in my work, I came across opportunity to discover what was in these layers. And we're told that little simple things which should be in the bottom layers and gradually coming up higher, and eventually dinosaurs, and later on at the very top, man. And that is the sequence of rising evolution from simple to complex, the bottom layers to the top more recent layers. That's the story they tell us, isn't it? And the Cambrian is away down at the bottom in the earliest times. Well, now, right through from Cambrian to whatever names that they want to give them, up to the very latest, I have found evidence all over the world of human beings in every single layer, from the earliest Cambrian right up to the latest. Now, how then, where did the evolution of man take place if he was there from the very beginning? And that's an embarrassing one. I've even made a chart of it and put it in one of my books. And the truth of the matter of the geological layers is that human beings, or remains of human beings, skeletal remains or artifactual remains, are found in every single type of layer you like to mention in the evolutionary books. Man has always been here. And of course, man was with dinosaurs.
And that is how can you explain man and dinosaurs at the same time? If man is a fairly recent creation and dinosaurs died out 50 or 60 million years ago, something's wrong with the theory. And they don't want, you know, to discuss what's wrong with their theory because it's so full of holes it looks like Swiss cheese. But, of course, since they control the media and they control the universities and they control the educational system, and suddenly you watch, the History Channel, channel and Discovery Channel. There are lots of great and fascinating programs, beautiful photography, but they always sneak in about the dinosaurs, 50 million years, 100 million years, you know, the Earth, 200 million years ago, you know, and billions of years ago. And they always sneak those little things, along with global warming. They got to always tell you about global warming, how that's changing the world. And they use these programs on History Channel and Discovery Channel to shape our reality. We really believe these things because they're told over and over and over again. And of course, once you begin to think independently and you begin to evaluate them, you realize it's all a lie. We are being lied to all the time by the major media, and our children are being lied to in schools. And it's about time that, of course, we held our scientists to the highest standards, and that is be honest or get out of science. But you go right ahead, Jonathan.
Yes. Oh, it's a fascinating subject, Stan. I'd just like to point out something else, that, and then we'll go into the Noah's flood and the ark. Did Noah take any dinosaurs into the ark or not? That's an interesting question. Now, let's get this thing straight. According to the evolutionists, the dinosaurs were dumb and clumsy sort of creatures that just evolved by accident. Now, new evidence has been coming to light more recently to suggest that dinosaurs were not slow, clumsy creatures, but they were swift, they were graceful, they were far from stupid. In fact, they were highly intelligent, warm-blooded creatures that were marvels of agility and grace. And they were far superior to our surviving reptiles. When we say compare the Komodo dragon and the crocodile, they're far superior to these. And it's believed that Tyrannosaurus could run, at his construction, could run as fast as a galloping horse or a charging tiger does today. But this much is certain, dinosaurs could not have just evolved by mindless chance. And as we find more and more fossils of these astonishing animals, some as long as 130 feet, I think the longest we've found is about 150 feet long, we're amazed at their wonderful design. Now, the Brachiosaurus, rather, as tall as a four-story building, had a neck that was built just like the jib of a crane. Its design shows a tremendously clever engineering and intelligent engineering plan. How about that? It was carefully thought out before it was created.
Well, I think everything is very cleverly thought out. I mean, this just didn't happen by accident, but you go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Just out of interest, by the way, they're huge creatures. The Brontosaurus could drink with ease from the gutter of a two-storied house. And the flying pterodandon, 20 feet long, when you saw it in the air, it would look as big as an elephant flying through the sky. What a sight that would be. And a single dinosaur would probably have eaten up to 400 pounds or 200 kilograms of food a day. Real earth shakers they were. Okay, now when you compare today's elephant weighs about 7 tons. The remains in South America of a dinosaur have been found that weighed as much, estimated 100 tons, not 7 tons like an elephant, but 100 tons.
That's pretty good size, pretty good size creature.
Oh, yeah. Now, since Noah took on board the ark at least one set of every air-breathing animal, Genesis tells us that, I believe the dinosaurs must have been included. And I'm going to give some good reasons a little after this. Firstly, the fact that they were designed superbly. There were no accidents of evolution, and I believe that they were designed with a caring, loving mind to give them the greatest grace and agility that they needed. And I would suggest that they were in the ark. And then the question might arise, well, what about the space? How could you take those huge dinosaurs into Noah's Ark? One of them might have sunk the ship. Okay, let's look at it this way. If Mrs. Noah wanted to take her favourite rose bush, in which she has to dig up the rose bush and carry it into the Ark, or would she just need the seed? If they wanted an oak tree to preserve, would they have to take a whole oak tree into the ark, or carry it, just carry in an acorn that they could plant? If they wanted to take dinosaurs or horses or hippopotami or whatever else into the ark, would they have to take the biggest and oldest and the very largest? No. All they need to take was a couple of babies that would grow up to be a healthy breeding pair. That's all they needed.
And, of course, you know, the whole idea as well, I mean, how did Noah go out and get all those critters? Well, he didn't. God brought them to him because God wanted to preserve this life too, when they started in all over again. That's what people really don't understand, is that we're talking about something miraculous. If it, we accept it as Christians that it occurred, and God can really do anything. He can bring a couple of baby dinosaurs, one male, one female, or maybe a two male and two female, of various breeds of dinosaurs, and put them on the ark. And then, of course, they could certainly, through the process of genetic changes, you know, and certainly you get all sorts of different types of dogs from the same dog, because they all have different genes, and by mixing them back and forth and breeding, why you get big dogs and small dogs and cute dogs and ugly dogs, and you do the same thing with dinosaurs, but you don't need a lot of dinosaurs to begin with.
No, you don't. Now, the word dinosaur, of course, is a modern word. It was invented by a man called Sir Richard Owen in 1841. But there was another word used prior to that time, and that was the word dragon or monsters. The ancients called them dragons. Today we call them dinosaurs, but we're speaking of the same creature.
And I think that's really so important. Everybody's heard of St. George and the dragon. There are many stories about the dragons, you know, and certainly there are stories in the Bible about these Leviathan, or right, the exact names, but they were specific names for these huge creatures in the Bible, and I think they were describing dinosaurs.
Oh, yes, I believe so. When you read the description, perhaps we could even look at that very soon. Just looking at the legends that have come down to us, it is an old science book, Historia Animalium, which says that dragons lived in Europe as late as the 16th century, but the animals were said to be extremely rare by then and rather small.
And wouldn't we assume that probably the people would have killed them? After all, you wouldn't want those big things rummaging around in your cornfield. Why, you'd certainly you'd want to get rid of them, just like we want to get rid of the wolves in civilized society. And just like man just about exterminated the buffalo, we had millions of buffalo on the plains, and they were simply all destroyed. There's only a few of them left. But man was able to kill them, and I suspect that's what happened to a lot of the dinosaurs, don't you think?
Oh, I did believe so. Down here in New Zealand, there was a bird called the moa, M-O-A. And it was here until about 200 years ago. It was 12 feet tall, twice as tall as a man. Twice as tall as a tall man. A single bird was that big. Now, if we lived 1,000 years later, we'd hardly want to believe that that was ever possible, that a 12-foot bird could go walking around on the ground. But we know it, because it's only 200 years ago and we found their bones, got them here. So there's no problem with these big creatures having existed in fairly recent times. Actually, around 900 AD, there was an Irish writer who reported meeting a huge animal with thick legs, strong claws, and iron spikes on its back. And he described exactly what we would today call a stegosaurus, which is a variety of dinosaur.
With the spikes on the back, and that's what we see in all the pictures, is these big critters with these big spikes there.
Yeah. The French city of Nereus changed its name after a dragon with long, sharp horns on its head was killed there. And it appears from the description to have been a triceratops, which is another variety of dinosaur. We give them different names today, but they called them all dragons back then. And there's some old Chinese history books that speak of a family that kept dragons and raised their babies. It said that in those days, Chinese kings used dragons to pull royal chariots on special occasions through Western China.
In fact, when we see the Chinese celebrations, you know, what do they always have there? They have a dragon, you know. See, the great big long dragon, you know. He's about 40, 50 feet long, and this horrible face, and the people, of course, are all there and under this big long sheet of cloth, and that they've got the faith there. Where would they get this idea of the dragon, unless maybe in their culture there had been real dragons?
Yes. And of course, we've got from Babylonia to Wales, an interesting one. King Morvidus of Wales, about 336 BC, in Welsh history, was killed by one. And a later king of Wales actually slew one. Beowulf in Scandinavia, around about 500 AD, he killed two of them, but he lost his life in the process of killing another one of them. And then we have, you mentioned St. George and the Dragon, early records are much more sober and believable than the popular accounts written in children's books today, but there may be some basis of truth in the story there.
Well, before we go on, I really want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your ministry. And you've got some fascinating things. You have the book, The Dead Man's Secret. We carry that, but you've got all sorts of DVDs that can only be gotten through you. Would you like to tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you and get your material? It is fascinating.
Thank you, Stan. Yes, if you go to www.beforeus.com, B-E-F-O-R-E, US.com. On the front page, at the bottom, there's a link to other products, and just click on that and it'll open up the variety of resources available.
And of course, you'd have an email that we get every week or so, and would you want to tell people how they can get onto your email list?
Yes, if they go to beforeus.com, there's a little form about a quarter of the way down the page. Just put your first name and email address, and you'll automatically get an email immediately, and then each week we'll send you another one, free of charge.
And it really is fascinating material. Oh, and always different a story of some archaeological oddity or some new discovery, and it's well worthwhile. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a constant reminder of the fact that we're not getting the truth from the controlled media, and Jonathan provides a great source of information, and you'll really enjoy his DVDs. But you go right ahead.
In Scotland, a fellow called Fraser, a little town called Glenvarkey, is credited with having killed the last known dragon in Scotland. And the date, according to the history, is 1520. Over in Italy, on May the 13th, 1572, a farmer in northern Italy killed a dinosaur. And it was examined and described by an Italian scientist. I can't get my tongue around his surname, but he was called Ulysses, and I'll try, Aldrovandus. And this is in Italian history. So these are not just legends. These are historical, sober historical records. And these exist virtually all over the world.
And, of course, if these are true, then the university professors are lying to you, and your teachers in high school are lying to you, and the History Channel and the Discovery Channel are lying to you. But of course, you're never going to hear about this sort of thing, which is why I asked Jonathan to come with us and give us the background. Go right ahead. I mean, there have been so many instances in recent history, 200 or 300 years ago, where people recorded killing dinosaurs. Well, how could they do that if they've been gone for 60 million years? And it's because they haven't been gone for 60 million years. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, yes, just in the last few hundred years, as a matter of fact, if you can get hold of a dictionary, say going back 400 or 500 years ago, soon after the invention of printing, go to one of those early dictionaries, if you can read it, the definition of the word dragon in those dictionaries states that they are extremely rare, those still living today. Isn't that interesting? In dictionaries of that time.
Yes, it would be well with the late Gutenberg. What was it, 14 something, the 1400s, okay, we got the Gutenberg, the printing press, and then, of course, the Bible shortly after that.
Yes. And the dictionaries, we've still got dictionaries from that time, which tell us that there's still a few around it, and that was officially written down the whole of whole of the continent knew about it.
And so basically, they call them dragons in those days. Why did they call them dragons? Why didn't they call them dinosaurs? Because the term dinosaur didn't come on until the 1800s. So understand, ladies and gentlemen, of course, that this is one of the greatest, certainly scientific frauds of all time. It's like the Piltdown Man. When I went to college, why, of course, I knew that evolution was true because they had the missing link. It was the Piltdown Man. For 50 years, scientists embraced the Piltdown Man until they found out it was a totally fraudulent situation. Somebody's intentionally taken the jaw, I think, of an ape and the skull of a man and sharpened the teeth and stained them. All a fraud, and the scientists all accepted it. Well, Jonathan, we've got 3 minutes to you to finish up this part of the program, and then we'll let you rest for a couple of minutes while we do some work, and then we'll get on with the second half. But you go right ahead with the story.
Yeah, sure. A very interesting thing, you mentioned the Piltdown.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Number is 1-800-544-8927. But if you're not in a position to help, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this very real battle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men. This is a spiritual battle. Certainly we have so much information. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we have it. It's available. We also are carrying Jonathan's book. And of course, Jonathan, give me the name. It escapes me for the moment.
The name of the website?
No, the name of your book.
Oh, the book on the site is The Dead Men's Secrets.
Dead Men's Secrets. We carry that. It's available to Radio Liberty. And Dead Men's Secrets, we think it's an important book. And we certainly suggest you get it. It'll give you an overview of the things that Jonathan talks about, although you certainly want to get his videos. They are fascinating. And as he travels, you know, whether it be to Palestine, to follow in the footsteps of Ron Wyatt and basically bring all of these stories very, very vividly to you. And in fact, we even have a 4-tape set of my interviews with Ron Wyatt, if you're interested in that. And of course, the story of the law, Ark of the Covenant, the certainly the crossing of the Red Sea, where the real Mount Sinai are. All of these things are vitally important, and we can thank Ron and then, of course, Jonathan for verifying so much of the information. Someday maybe we'll get Jonathan back to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. And I believe that they know where the Ark of the Covenant is. But the last thing, of course, that they would want would be for the Palestinians to find out where the Ark of the Covenant is, because, of course, that would prove beyond any shadow of a doubt to the Jewish claim to the Holy Land and certainly to the Temple Mount. So until, of course, the Jews are ready to rebuild the Temple, they're not going to tell you where the Ark is. And, well, I don't know that we'll tell you where that is either. But anyway, I believe that they really do know where it is. And then, of course, we have so much material here at Radio Liberty that will help you to understand the spiritual component. We have a new DVD we're carrying by our good friend Lynn Marzulli. It's called The Watchers. It goes into UFOs. It goes into cattle mutilations. It goes into alien implants. What are alien implants? What you implant into a human being after you've been taken away by aliens. And you'll hear the interview with the doctor who's removed a number of those. And that's called The Watchers. We have certainly other DVDs we recommend. We'll help you to understand what's going on. If you're concerned about your health and the health of your family, my talk on the specter haunting America, the specter haunting America. If you're concerned about water fluoridation, the hidden agenda, and there's an excellent syllabus with that. If you're concerned about what's going on financially, our talk on the financial Armageddon, there's a syllabus that goes with that. If you're concerned about the possibility of us losing our freedom, the talk on the planned police state and the syllabus goes with that. And we have the documentation. We want you to get the documentation. You have, of course, our permission to reproduce anything that we have put out personally. As long as you're not doing it for commercial purposes, we want the information out. You need to understand what's going on. Probably one of the most fascinating things we have is a transcript of a 4-tape set. We call it the New Order of the Barbarians, based upon a talk that Dr. Dunnigan attended back in 1969, where Dr. Richard Day, the medical director of Planned Parenthood, told exactly what was going to happen. Now, this is 1969. The stories were recorded in the late 1980s, but everything that was stated at that time has come to pass. And talking about the treatments for cancer that had to be suppressed because there are too many people in the world, they're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And you say, how could anybody be that crass? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. The transcript and the 4-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, are all available. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
Beside her.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Jonathan Gray, and he's agreed to stay with us the second hour, and we're going to continue our story of dinosaurs. Dinosaurs and your understanding of them and your ability to discuss this intelligently will help you to communicate with others and perhaps raise in their minds the question that possibly they've been lied to as part of this conspiracy against God. There is a conspiracy against God. There is an honest, coordinated effort to destroy the faith of the American people. Certainly a lot of Christians are confused today, and they think, oh, well, maybe God guided evolution, you know, after all. The science shows this, and ladies and gentlemen, the science is a lie. And until we have honest scientists, and we do have a few out there, they paid a terrible price, because if you are an honest scientist, why, you're going to get fired from your job, and then what do you do? You know, if you're a paleontologist or archaeologist or anthropologist, what do you do when you've been fired and you can't get a university appointment because you will be blacklisted if you tell the truth? Well, we need to support these people and help get the information out. And Jonathan, you pick the story up.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. What we now can turn to is drawings that have been left behind for us, and these are as good as the written records, over in Africa, starting in Africa, for example. We find remains of cave drawings that show very clearly dinosaurs chasing people. A long-necked dinosaurs chasing the natives. Now, we also have some others from Egypt. There was a fellow called Demetrius, the topographer, and he was an Egyptian who made Greece his home, and he created a famous mosaic about 100 BC, and he called it the Nile Mosaic of Palestrina, and it shows scenes of African hunters pursuing native African animals such as hippopotamus, crocodile, and so on. And gliding above the dark-skinned men are winged creatures closely resembling the, well, they call them flying dinosaurs, but strictly they're not dinosaurs, they're pterodactyls. And these supposedly extinct animals are pictured along with the native fauna, which was common to the people living there. So it appears that they were depicting what they were familiar with, and they were familiar with dinosaurs on land and the so-called flying dinosaurs, which more correctly are called pterodactyls.
Now, whereabouts exactly are these caves that have these cave drawings?
Caves in the Congo.
Okay.
But I couldn't give you the specific directions.
The Congo, that gives us an idea. Yeah, okay, fine. That's sort of the central part of Africa. Go right ahead.
Yeah. We also find there are drawings in Zimbabwe, in the Amazon, in Arizona, by the way, in the USA, in Oregon, in the Grand Canyon, and in Utah, depicting dinosaurs. And these are so realistic, you would think that they'd been to school and seen pictures in a book. But these are hundreds of years old at the earliest, maybe a thousand or two years old, and they show a familiarity with the habits of and also the appearance of dinosaurs down to the last detail that we, as we know it today. So people who were familiar with these were drawing them, and they drew them mixed up with other animals that they were familiar with.
And of course, if they didn't see them, how would they know how they looked? And
how would they know? That's true, yes.
We'll be back in just a moment with Jonathan Gray right here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Now, we also go down to South America. First of all, Mexico, There are models of dinosaurs, clay models that have been brought out of caves and also out of tombs that are up to 1,000 or more years old. In Panama, likewise, pictures of dinosaurs. In Ecuador. Oh, when we come down to Peru, it's a very interesting story, Dr. Stan. We've got some dinosaur stones that were found by the Spaniards back in the 1500s. When the Spanish conquistadors came to America, they discovered these. And they found the first few of them. And they were sent back, they sent some of them back to Spain. And the fact that they're not of recent origin is shown by the oxidation produced by aging, which covers the incisions in the drawings.
And these are stones with pictures of dinosaurs on them, is that right?
Yes, dinosaurs are among the pictures. The pictures actually show lots of different things that people were familiar with, but dinosaurs are common on these stones as well. And a museum has been set up down there in Peru, a little town called Ica. And in there are about 11,000 of these rounded stones. And some of them are just about five pounds in weight. Others are real boulders, up to 800 pounds, an enormous one. And these are ancient. They show man and dinosaur as cozy neighbors. And human beings are portrayed hunting or struggling with dinosaurs, and others show people having domesticated them. And they're using them for warfare and also for transportation. Isn't that interesting?
I think if you were a soldier and you were looking up and you saw this dinosaur coming at you with somebody riding on it, you'd be frightened to death.
I think the battle would be against you for sure.
Right.
Now, it's very, very interesting. There are many ways to avoid having to face the challenge to one's false theories. And I'd like to relate a story to show, well, it's something with which many a corrupt politician would be proud. It's a story of some of the stones that nearly sent a man to prison, these stones we've been talking about. In 1966, the Dr. Javier Carrera of Ica was given a stone by a poor local farmer. Now, you wouldn't think that being given a stone would be much of a gift, but maybe this villager, just an average sort of man, didn't value it very highly, but the educated Dr. Cabrera valued it a lot. And the reason was, there was a fish carved on that stone, and...
Hold that thought, and Dr. Jonathan's telling us about an incident, and it's in South America, where a gentleman had a stone, and it had a fish carved on it. He was a poor farmer. He gave this to a gentleman who was very well educated for one reason or another. And here's this priceless picture, you know, of a fish that's been carved on a stone many, many centuries before. You pick the story up there, Jonathan.
Yes, and this fish carved on the stone was recognized by Dr. Cabrera as a long-extinct species of fish. So this aroused his curiosity, so much so that he went looking for more stones like it if he could purchase them from the farmer. Well, the village farmer explained that he'd collected the stones down near the river after a flood. So over time, Dr. Cabrera accumulated more and more of these strange carved stones. And, in fact, it wasn't long before he had amassed thousands of them. And these are the ones you see in his museum. Well, eventually, the word of these stones and their potential importance filtered out to the archaeological community. And the sophisticated carvings were found to be very puzzling, as well as fascinating. And it seemed that some unknown person in the past, or persons, had carved men fighting with dinosaurs, men performing operations with surgical instrument, men with telescopes, and the stones also contained other drawings of things that did not exist anymore, or that we never thought the ancients knew about. Now, some of these stones were sent to Germany to be examined, and they were dated to a very remote age. Well, we all know, don't we, that men could not have lived at the same time as dinosaurs. So eventually the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, heard of the discovery. And it wasn't long before they swooped down to Peru, and the result was a documentary about these strange Inca stones that contained dinosaurs on them. Well, as you'd expect, the media exposure ignited a storm of controversy. And archaeologists criticized the government of Peru for being lax in enforcing their antiquities laws. But between you and me, that was not their real reason for being angry. You can be sure of that. The next step was to pressure government officials. And the poor village man who'd been selling the stones to Dr. Cabrera was arrested. And when they interrogated him, he claimed to have found the stones in a cave. But according to the authorities, he refused to disclose the exact location. Well, so carefully did they handle this case that, as I said earlier, it would be a great credit to any corrupt politician. Here's what they did. The Peruvian government now threatened to prosecute and imprison the farmer, and they offered him a plea bargain, and so the frightened man accepted. And then he recanted his story and admitted that he had carved all of the 11,000 stones himself. Uneducated, unskilled as he was, he had carved all of the 11,000 stones. Now, of course, we understand that some of these stones were very large, not to mention that they were intricately carved with animals and scenes that the poor farmer could never have had knowledge of unless he was a paleontologist. Now, just imagine, he was a poor man, he needed to earn a daily living to support his dependents, yet despite that he would have needed to spend every day for several decades and do nothing else just to produce this huge volume of carved stone. But, of course, that didn't matter to anyone. The Inca stones were dubbed a hoax and forgotten, and so didn't require explaining. And there was no need for public discrediting of non-scientists by scientists. The whole matter was disposed of and filed away as a hoax. That evidence of human coexistence with dinosaurs and ancient technological knowledge by ancient carvers didn't have to be dealt with now. Isn't that convenient?
Well, whatever happened to the museum? Is it still there? Or?
Yes, the museum is still there. Dr. Cabrera still has it open and can be visited.
And, of course, basically, this is so reminiscent of just in this last week why BBC had authorized a paper dealing with vaccines to discredit Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who I've met, who had actually done some, he was a leading a physician over there, and he felt that there was a definite relationship between the MMR vaccine and the colitis and autism, which he saw it in so many children. And, of course, all the parents had told him the condition came on directly after they got their I mean, these are healthy, normal kids until they got their vaccines, and then they regressed into autism, and he did scientific work on this, and I think it was really very valid. But now, of course, they've totally discredited him, and BBC were the ones who financed this paper, which definitely proved that everything he said was a lie. They took away his medical license. He was forced to leave Great Britain. He's here in the United States having difficulty getting a job, making a living, and why? Well, because he actually said he thought that there might be a danger to the MMR vaccine, because as soon as we started giving it, we got, of course, this epidemic of autism. But it is amazing how the BBC, anything that comes out that really is valid, that tells the people the truth, they're immediately going to put up money. Why would they want to put money to discredit the Inca stones? Why would they want to put up money to discredit Andy Wakefield, who's just trying to save children from developing autism? And, of course, we're told we don't know what causes autism, but we do know it's not the vaccines. They're perfectly safe. Just roll your child's sleeve up. But, of course, you can't sue the manufacturers. You can't sue the doctors. We had to give them the permission, or they said they wouldn't make the vaccines to help preserve the health of our children. Well, I don't want to get off into another subject, but it's so similar to the story of the Inca stones, what happened to Dr. Wakefield just this last week, with this study financed by the BBC. It's like deja vu all over again.
Certainly is. Very interesting. And the drawings, of course, we've mentioned, are in North America, they're in Africa, they're in the Amazon of South America. The drawings of dinosaurs are found in Turkey, on walls in the ruins of Babylon. They're found on Roman swords, They're found on the Viking ships. They're found in France, Egypt, Sumatra even, way down there in Indonesia. Wherever you go, there's records in picture form of dinosaurs, so accurately drawn that the people who drew them must have known what a dinosaur looked like. They must have seen them.
Right.
Well, of course, we go to the Bible, and the Bible does speak about dinosaurs. And it, the word, as we know, dinosaur wasn't invented, but we read of a creature, a sea creature called the behemoth, and there were a couple of other names given to it. And it's said to be the largest creature alive, and its tail is like the thickness of a cedar tree. Its strength is in its huge belly. It has bones like iron bars and so on. It has the description, not of an elephant, not of a hippopotamus, not of anything we know today, but it does fit perfectly a dinosaur.
And isn't that in the book of Job?
In the book of Job,
right.
Yes, chapter 40. Wonderful, wonderful record there. And the dinosaurs here are undoubtedly being spoken of, and it says he ranks first among the works of God. Well, dinosaurs are the largest creatures. I mean, 100 tons is pretty big when you compare it with a 7-ton elephant. Now, what about remains? Do we depend just upon old stories and drawings and the Bible record, which all agree, of course? What about remains? Have any remains been found? Well, it's interesting that dinosaurs have been found all over the world. But the explosive piece about this, that dinosaurs have been found in the same strata level, the same layer level of rock in different parts of the world as human beings. Remains have been found, and this is the tricky bit. This is where it gets interesting. Go to Texas. I've been down to Dr. Carl Baer's museum down there in Glen Rose, Texas. Very, very interesting. Just nearby is the Paluxy River. And for quite a number of years now, dinosaur tracks have been unearthed. Scientists were invited to come down, actually, to one particular digging where an area was going to be dug out, and there, lo and behold, were dinosaur tracks crossing human tracks. Now, the media came down and reported it, but the scientists, the evolutionary scientists, did not come down for about 12 months. And then they said, here, look, this is carved by humans because they've eroded, because they don't look very clear, that they're not like a real sharp dinosaur footprint. And that's true, of course, because erosion had taken place over 12 months, but they were recorded very precisely at the time they were uncovered, and we've got good photograph evidence of that. An interesting thing is that a gentleman who had been down there, he was a creationist, and for good reason. He had evidence there that would not allow him to be anything else if he was honest with the evidence. A gentleman by the name of Tom Patton, and he presented evidence up in Dayton, Tennessee, one day with pictures that both human and dinosaur tracks were present at what was known as the Taylor Trail. Well, in the audience were two well-known evolution proponents, and one of them was visibly disturbed by this presentation. And you know how they dealt with it? I just love how they handled this. They both flew down to Texas the next morning and went immediately to the Paluxy River, and they were seen in the river that afternoon with an iron bar, and later extensive damage was noted to the fresh prints that had just been unearthed.
In other words, basically, they wanted to destroy the evidence that man and dinosaurs existed together. Because, you see, if that's true, then everything we've been told is a lie. And so if you've got definite evidence, what do? You take a crowbar down there and you destroy the evidence. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, these men are not scientists. These are people who are simply corrupting science, which is why people increasingly don't really have the confidence in science that they once did. Why we don't have the science, have people working in universities we can really trust, because so many of them have an agenda, and that's far more important than the truth. And we should all be looking for truth, and the truth, of course, will set us free. Jonathan, go right ahead.
Yes. Well, now, we'll move from here down.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Instances there was a dinosaur skull with an arrowhead in it. How did you get an arrowhead in the bone of the dinosaur? Well, it was presumably somebody shot the arrow at it. But you see what this does. If this is true, then everything that we've been taught in school is a lie. And then, of course, if it's a lie, then maybe there really is a God, and maybe there is some credence in what the Bible said. And so this is carefully and systematically suppressed, and some of it's printed in certainly archaeological journals, but never talked about. And that's why it's so important. We have people like Jonathan out there collecting the information and cataloging it for us. Please go right ahead, Jonathan.
Yes. Now we've come to modern sightings, Stan. I think this is the interesting part. Have they been found in our day or close to our own day alive? Well, is it possible? Is it possible that dinosaurs could be living today anywhere? Well, I guess, firstly, we should note this, that it's difficult to say categorically that any animal's extinct. Several times, geologists have been severely embarrassed when, after they've declared animals to be extinct, they've been discovered alive and well. And one good example is Indonesia. The remote island of Komodo, today there are about 1,000 so-called prehistoric monster lizards and Komodo dragons. And these were totally unknown to modern man till the year 1912, so that they're less than 100 years since we've known about these, and scientists have been perplexed by this mystery. Here's one of the oldest animals on Earth, found on a geologically young island, so they call it young compared with other islands around. The question is, how did it get there? Well, there is some evidence that a few dinosaurs and great marine reptiles could still be alive today, although we might be, sad to say, still teetering on the edge of extinction. All right, let's take these by sea, land, and air, because there are three types of creatures which are related in our geological history of evolution, time-wise. There's the sea dinosaurs. And I'm not being strictly correct here when I call them sea dinosaurs, because their correct name is Plesiosaurus. On land, we just call them dinosaurs, no matter what their variety. In the air, we'll call them pterodactyl. Strictly speaking, they're not dinosaurs, but they're in the same class evolution-wise as far as the time goes in what they speculate by the time they lived. So we'll look at the sea, first of all. All over the world, ship captains have been reporting animals that they call sea monsters. There have been hundreds of such accounts. In our lifetime, the Melbourne Sun. I picked up a paper when I was living in Melbourne, Australia, of the Melbourne Sun. That was back in February the 6th, 1980, and noted that more than 40 people had claimed to have seen plesiosaurs off the coast nearby. Now, did 44 people hallucinate, or were they really seeing something out there offshore? And many reliable observers have sketched or described sea creatures which resemble ancient plesiosaurs, dragon-like monsters still alive in the sea. And reports like these, I should mention, often come from people whose integrity or soundness of mind would never be questioned normally. Now, over here in New Zealand where I am, Japanese fish quite a lot, and they trawl for fish. And a few years back, Japanese fishing nets caught the decaying body of a large, strange reptile. And the photographs and measurements and tissue samples suggested it was probably one of the great plesiosaurs related to dinosaurs. In fact, the Japanese government has issued a stamp to commemorate this catch. I've got a copy of the stamp. Now, we go down to Canada. Very interesting thing happened in 1952 down in Canada. Now, Canada does have several lakes that are a bit like Loch Ness, in which huge creatures have been seen by hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the years. But I'd like to get into this story. It's a fascinating one. It's a good human interest story, and I think that sort of helps us to remember, get fixed in our minds, what's going on up in some of these parts of the world. A guy called Fred Olson was patrolling the Esperanza Inlet area for the Canadian Department of Fisheries, and he presented this official report. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It's very interesting.
I'm going to ask you to hold that off, or you're going to have to go to a quick break here.
Yeah,
we'll be
sure.
Back in just a moment. Our guest is Jonathan Gray. Fascinating information on dinosaurs.
Don't be late.
No.
This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Jonathan Gray, and he's about to tell us a story about what happened up in Canada, a story you probably haven't heard of. But before we get to that, Jonathan, I want you to tell our listeners once again how they can get to your website, how they can get your information. Now, we do carry your book, Dead Man's Secrets, but certainly the DVDs that you have are only available through you, and they really are amazing. But would you like to tell people how to get in touch with your website, how they get your DVDs, how they can actually get on your email list and get your weekly emails, which are free? Go ahead.
Thank you, Stan. Yes, go to beforeus.com, BEFORE US.com. About a quarter of the way down the page, maybe a little less, there's also a form to register your first name and email address to receive the free weekly emails. Scroll down to the bottom of the page, and on the bottom right-hand corner, there is a link which says Other Products. Click on that, and you will have access to where to order what is desired. There's a whole list there of resources, both books and DVDs, and from there, they can be ordered.
All right, fine. Thank you. Now you were beginning to you're going to begin to tell us a little bit about this gentleman. He had been patrolling. Was this a lake or the inland waters or what?
Yes, it was an inlet from the sea. And the Canadian Fishing Company had a fish buying camp there, near the entrance to the Esperanza Inlet. And the camp itself was a mobile camp. It was a 90-foot scow with two decks, and the lower deck contained the fish storage space and the ice house, and the upper deck had the living quarters. And he lived with his wife and family on this camp, and part of the upper deck was open, similar to a sun deck. Now, he mentions that the scow was moored to pilings away from the shore, and it was lived in by himself, his wife, and three children. And one day, while working on the sun deck, which was about 10 feet above the sea, the man spotted a moving object out of the corner of his eye. Now, his first impression was that one of the black creosoted pilings had somehow worked loose and was falling over alongside the camp into the sea. So he wheeled around, a little startled, but the sight that met his eyes shocked him more than anything he had ever experienced. An eel-like neck, thicker than a piling, and a head with enormous eyes towering 6 feet above the sun deck. Now, the sun deck was 10 feet above the sea, and this head towered 6 feet above the sun deck. And it was passing very slowly by the camp. And so, electrified into action, he tore through the doorway into the living quarters, and he seized his 30-30 rifle, which he always kept loaded. And by now, this dreadful thing had reached the outside window of the living quarters, and his wife and his daughter were gaping in horror. And as the camp man dashed back to the sun deck, he slammed the door behind him, and apparently startled, this creature turned its head toward the window and opened its mouth widely, and both the mother and the daughter were treated to the spectacle of a huge pink-lined mouth and frightful shark-like teeth. Now, this thing slid slowly out of view and the two rushed to the window. But below, slightly underwater, it was passing a huge whale-sized body of this monster, and like a whale too in size. It had huge 12-foot-wide flukes slowly propelling it through the water. Now, on deck, the man, sighted on the back of the animal's head, a mere 20 feet away, he just hesitated. Now, he had heard of the peanut-sized brain of dinosaurs, and this thing resembled a dinosaur. Now, he knew that if he failed to paralyze or kill the thing with one shot, its huge convulsions would probably smash the boat to pieces and bring them all to destruction, so he didn't shoot. And he watched as the animal submerged slowly, its great body visible underwater, as it moved toward the head of the cove. It was February, and it was chilly. A breeze was blowing in from the Pacific, but it was not the cold that made him shiver. He said his body was drenched with perspiration. Actually, the head of the cove was at that time covered with ice, about an inch thick, and there was a slight splintering sound as the thing appeared again, and it reared up about a dozen feet through and above the ice and turned its head all around and then sank again. He saw it no more. Now, he was not only him and his wife and daughter that saw it. Witnesses rowed over to another camp boat, but their story was met with half credulity and half shock and half belief, because one or two on the boat had seen it and the others hadn't. Those back at the Department of Fisheries, the biological station at Nanaimo, said that no such creature existed. He must have seen a sea cow. And so the weird story was ridiculed everywhere, and in the end the family subsided into just angry silence. That was their ending on the story. So I've got lots of well-documented accounts in my files, Stan. Often the reptiles are described as having heads like those of alligators. And these are just the same kinds of sea creatures that were dinosaur in appearance according to the evolutionists millions of years ago. But if we compare worldwide reports, you go to Lake Storsjön in Sweden, you go up to Loch Ness and a couple of other lakes in Scotland, you go to half a dozen, about eight lakes in Ireland, three lakes that I know of in Canada, and there's Lake Tayut in Idaho, and in Siberia, there's three lakes over there that I'm aware of where the same kind of creatures are reported frequently by people close by. So it's a worldwide phenomenon still existing.
And, Chris, we've heard the stories of Loch Ness, the pictures, and, you know, that some of them are really very, very convincing. I mean, there are pictures, my understanding, and some of the actually have been recorded as some of the sightings there in Canada.
Yes. So it looks like this is not just a fantasy. There is something real here. It's a survival. And there's no reason why in the sea they should be too extinct, because the sea is a lot safer from mankind than the land is. And a lot of the sea has not been explored yet. So we could turn from the sea-like dinosaur-like creatures to the land. I've got a couple of very interesting reports. One from Assam, what do you call it, in India, in the forest areas of northern Assam. Two tea planters were hunting. And they thought that they'd be prepared for anything in their hunting, but they were in for quite a shock. The sun was going down. There was a fair orange glow there, coming out over the reeds of the lake. And suddenly the men were startled. They heard a strange noise. And they were actually hearing the sounds of some unknown animal wallowing in the swamp, because they'd never seen this animal until now. And as they crept toward this moving object, they were amazed to see a reptilian head raise itself on a huge long neck above the reed. The men fired at it, both of them fired, but it seemed to be useless. The animal simply turned and heaved its vast bulk away to the center of the swamp where it could not be followed, and they lost sight of it. Now, they began to wonder, because they'd often heard the tribespeople speaking about the Arpathani tribe in that area, who had a strong tradition of what they called a buru, which existed in a large swamp, and it used to put its long neck up out of the water and make a hoarse bellowing noise. And later on, the swamp was drained, and they killed these creatures, and they still point out three burial sites where the last of these was buried. About 200 miles southwest of there, there's another tribe that describes the same animal as still existing and frequently seen in a swamp valley called the Relo Valley. And this area is still virtually unexplored. It's mountain territory, and it's claimed by, at the present day now, 2011, it's claimed by both India and China, so it's, in a sense, it's a no-man's land. Okay, we have similar reports coming out of Africa, from Zambia, from Namibia. The one in the Congo would probably be of interest. I'd like to just perhaps go into more detail on that one. Explorers and natives in a very remote jungle area in the Congo keep telling of sightings of a large dinosaur-like animal. Now, it's interesting that Science Digest has actually reported it, Science Frontiers has reported it, and occasional visitors over the last 200 years have all confirmed that the natives are absolutely honest when they talk about Mokele Mbembe, which is a huge animal with a small head, long neck, and long, massive tail. And they call it half elephant, half dragon. Now, about 40 years ago, some of the pygmies say they speared one to death, and everybody who ate it died soon after. Now, scientists have been in, they've shown pictures of different large animals living and extinct to the natives. They've shown pictures of hippopotami, of rhinoceros, of elephants, of giraffes, and so on. Each time the natives say, no, 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 it's not that. And then they show a picture of a brontosaurus, a form of dinosaur, which is the closest in appearance. The natives say, yes, that's what it looks like. Now, a lot of research has been done on this. It's established the authenticity of many reports that have been made by different explorers. For some other reports, there's almost total lack of evidence, but there's hardcore evidence that we can't honestly dismiss here. It can't be error, it can't be hoax. There's something here. And in each case, the sightings are either in waterways connected to the sea or in lakes around the world that were once connected to the ocean. So we've got a few interesting reports there.
Fascinating, really fascinating information. The thought that there may be someplace in some remote parts of the world still these carryovers from the dinosaurs, the dragons of yesteryear.
Yes. Now, probably listeners will have heard of the British explorer Percy Fawcett. I mentioned him in my book, Dead Men's Secrets, a few times. He was a surveyor for the British government, and he helped to survey the borders of Peru, Bolivia, Brazil, and so on, and where they were more or less coming close together, and there was dispute. So he surveyed and got the official borders certified. Now, he was a very keen explorer as well, and a fearless man, and he was in the Amazon area during all this, because it's all Amazon jungle, and he was a very meticulous recorder of facts. And he reported in this area, among other things, a 62-foot anaconda snake, monstrous thing. And he also recorded a dinosaur. Now, other explorers have gone in since then. He called it a Diplodocus, which is a form of dinosaur recognized as one of the dinosaur varieties. Now, if you go into that area today, Nate, and I have been in that area, if you question the natives, if you can speak their language, you will find that they tell the story of several days walk in from the tributaries of the river. You come to some lakes, And swampy ground, and they say that there's huge animals in there with long necks, big bodies, and long tails, big long necks, and little heads that poke their heads high above the trees. Now, the trees are 20 and 30 feet high. And they talk about these creatures who poke their heads above the trees. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
Well, it does appear that we have at least two confirmed locations where dinosaurs may still exist. One is the Congo and one is the southwestern Amazon. And possibly up there in the Farm India still. Reports elsewhere are unconfirmed. Venezuela and Peru and Malaysia, but these others appear to be quite genuine and we can confirm more readily. Now, there's land creatures. We could go from there to flying dinosaurs, maybe. And that's not, strictly speaking, scientific to say flying dinosaurs because they're called pterodactyls. And we could, just making a general statement about these, they were the largest creatures ever to attain flight. According to the fossil record, these were the largest flying creatures. And they had wingspans reaching nearly 40 feet. Now, the evolutionist says that they ruled the prehistoric skies for 100 million years until they died out about 65 million years ago. And my question is, did they? The timing is absolutely ridiculous. There have been many modern-day sightings of creatures that, by eyewitness description, sound like the pterodactyls. And it does suggest that this species of amazing flying creatures is not extinct, but they're still soaring through part of the skies in different parts of the world today. And I'd like to give a few good examples of this. We have Christian school teachers teaching up in Papua New Guinea, people that we know are trustworthy, who have reported seeing these huge creatures flying across the skies just before sunset. They have not been caught, but they have been seen frequently. Now, we don't have any hard evidence except eyewitness reports up there in Papua New Guinea, but my friend Dr. Carl Bayer was sometime in the past planning an expedition to go up there. I'm not quite sure what became of that. I must ask him sometime. Let's come to the United States. And here are some dates and locations. May 1961, New York State, of all places where you'd think nothing like that could ever exist. A businessman was flying his private plane over the Hudson River Valley, and he claimed that he was buzzed by a large flying creature that said looked more like a pterodactyl out of the prehistoric ages. That got into the newspaper. In the early 1960s in California, a couple was driving through the Trinity National Forest, and they reported seeing the silhouette of a giant bird that they estimated had its wingspan was 14 feet, and they described it as resembling a pterodactyl. Down in January 1976 at Harlington, Texas, two children, Jackie Davis, 14, and Tracy Lawson, 11, reported seeing a bird on the ground that stood 5 feet tall, was dark in color, had a baldish head, and a face like a gorilla's with a sharp 6-inch beak. And subsequent investigation by their parents uncovered tracks that had 3 toes and were 8 inches across. So, footprints 8 inches across.
Boy, I sure I'd hate to run into that in that critter. Our guest has been Jonathan Grain. Ladies and gentlemen, this information is so important. He has so much great information, and we look forward to having him with us again. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Jonathan, we've got 3 more minutes to go. I appreciate so much your being willing to stay with us for 2 hours, but it's fascinating information, vitally important. So you've got about two and a half minutes.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
When you'll actually see many of these things that Jonathan's been talking about, and many of the stones with the pictures of the dinosaurs on them, that's the Fearful Creation, and you can get them separately or get them together. We recommend them. They think a wonderful source of information on dinosaurs. And the information tonight, this two-hour tape, if you'd like to get it or get it in CD form, well worthwhile going over it several times, because Pastor both Billy Crone and Jonathan both tell exactly the same story, the same explanations, the information that you need to be able to discuss intelligently the fraudulent concept of evolution. We carry a book, A Tornado in a Junkyard, and we think it's well worthwhile getting it put out by our good friend James Perloff. It goes into the whole lie of evolution that is being taught in our schools today, which is why we're in so much trouble today. They've taken God out of our schools, and they've, of course, brought sex and violence and, all these various programs in to teach our children that they will determine what's right and wrong since there is no God, and then we wonder why so many young people are in trouble today. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. I want to mention our ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to get the Fearful Creation DVDs, if you'd like to get the book by Jonathan Gray, Dead Man's Secrets, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special, the book, the DVD, and the audio tape. And if you want to understand what's going on politically, you need to get the little book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, and None Dare Call It Treason. And then, of course, if you want to get into more detail, the scientific work done by our leading historian, certainly Professor Quigley, the leading historian of the last century, his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, was suppressed for 5 to 6 years. His book, The Anglo-American Establishment, which we have, was suppressed for 32 years. They're both available from Radio Liberty, James H. Billington's book, Fire in the Minds of Men, about secret societies, about the secret societies and the world revolution that's taking place today. This man is the Librarian of Congress. We've had a hard time getting the book. It is available, Fire in the Minds of Men. And then, of course, you really want to hear my talk on, it's a DVD, it's on the world revolution. And, of course, it includes my interview with Ambassador Smith, Earl T. Smith, a multi-billionaire. I interviewed him back in 1980 at his estate in Palm Beach, Florida. And he was very gracious and nicest billionaire I ever met. In fact, he even offered to try to help me as tried to put together a motion picture, and I really never I took him up on it. I should have, but basically it's so important you understand that the world revolution is still going on today. The one that James H. Billington talked about that began with the French Revolution. And the ultimate goal, a one-world government, a one-world religion with the destruction of Christianity, of course, and then installing the one-world leader. So basically, of course, the information's available from Radio Liberty. The World Revolution DVD, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We have Carrie David Rockefeller's memoirs, where he tells you about how his daughter is so close to Fidel Castro. Why would David Rockefeller's daughter be close to Fidel Castro? And why would Castro come up to visit David Rockefeller? They sit around and they laugh at how stupid the American people are. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. But please pray for Radio Liberty.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.